Successful people learn how to make their mind work for them. I'm David Nagel, and this is the Successful Mind Podcast.
The episode today, David and I are going inside this amazing episode titled The Last Dance and Setting the Highest Standard. David, I'm totally geeking out on this episode. I mean, this is so in my wheelhouse. I can't even tell you how excited I am about this.
Yeah.
All of your episodes are great, but when you start bringing sports into it, and most of us know you not as a sports fan, but more as someone who studies greatness, this is the perfect episode to talk about this. So I guess what I want to do is I want to bring you back to the Chicago area in the 90s, because obviously you were around that area. So this is a big local team for you with the Chicago Bulls. It must have been an absolutely amazing time. I'm sure the city was electric. The whole community was on fire with this Michael Jordan and his Bulls teammates. What was that like being in Chicago around this time, knowing you're not a huge sports fan, but you had to have gotten wrapped up in it in some way?
Yeah, well, so it's funny because it started with Michael in 84 when he came to the Bulls. And for me, it started then too. He became larger than life for us very quickly. And people who were not sports fans, which I was not, I was really not a sports fan, wanted to go to the games just to watch this guy play, because it was just amazing to watch what he could do. So I started going to games in the 80s and all through their, you know, the career in the 90s. And it was electric. It got to the point where it was unbelievably difficult to get tickets. And here's another thing. It was so expensive. I wasn't making the kind of money to be able to go. Most of the games that I went to were because of two different companies that I worked for. One company I worked for has Skybox there. So we used to get tickets to the Skybox. But another company, somehow or another, the guy that I worked for was connected, and we would get tickets on a pretty regular basis, probably three times a year or so. And you'd be able to go with my wife or a friend or something like that. And it was fantastic. And seriously, like, I couldn't give a shit if the Bulls win back then. I mean, I was happy when they did, but it was amazing to go see Jordan. It was really just electric to go see him play. And I remember when we all went through Tim Grover's book, Relentless, he talked about how people were dressed to impress and they had a night on the town. And like that, he's 100% right. That's exactly what it was like. You would think you were going to go see the Queen of England or something walking into that stadium. And then the next day, like, everybody would be, it didn't matter whether you went to the game or not. The next day, everybody's talking about the game, right? So did you see Jordan do this? Did you see that? You know, like, it was nuts. It was absolutely nuts. And like, it was almost like no other sports at that time could get any airspace. You know, like, we had the Cubs, you know, we had the Sox, we got the Blackhawks, you know, and Chicago and the Bulls, the Bears, except for the 86 Bears, of course, but that got a little bigger than Jordan for a while. I will admit. But the interesting thing about it was that Chicago is a very passionate city about their sports. Very, very passionate city about their sports. And during the times where the Bulls were their biggest, you didn't hear much about the other teams. And the good thing is that they were all sold out too. Like, everybody, you know, Cubs fans always go, Sox fans, Bears fans, like, everybody goes. But the thing that was on the lips of everybody during those years was Jordan and the Bulls and also Pippen and Rodman. Like, it was a trio, and it was fun. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, it's pretty cool too, because, you know, Chicago's a great city, as we obviously know. And before he got there, it was, I mean, they were being, the tickets you could get him for like $7. That documentary you referenced, the docuseries, The Last Dance, the Chicago Sting, which was an NASL, which is a soccer league that's no longer around, used to outperform the Bulls in that arena. So it's crazy to think.
Yeah, stadium.
And there's people growing up. And what's interesting now is there's a whole legion of young people who don't even know much about the Chicago Bulls because they haven't really been relevant as of late. But that decade of the 90s, they were the all-world team led by the all-world Jordan. I love in that you dropped Relentless by Tim Grover. That is definitely a book recommendation that we our team highly recommends. Tim Grover, you know, he trained, obviously, Jordan. He trained Kobe. He trained Dwayne Wade and countless other amazing all-NBA future Hall of Famers. Just an incredible book, but more so from a perspective of his concept of, you know, the coolers and the closers and the cleaners. You know, you can be good at something. And for most people, good is good enough. And yeah. Then if you want to be great, you go up to the next level. And then if you want to be unstoppable, that's a whole new stratosphere. And obviously Jordan, sort of transcended that and became what Grover calls a cleaner, which I absolutely love that. So Definitely you got to listen to that book and definitely read it and have it on your shelf. In the episode, you talked about the 7 levels of awareness once again, and this is something you've been talking about quite a bit as it relates to a person's growth. I'm just going to quickly recap those for the audience. Again, you had animal, mass consciousness, aspiration, individual, discipline, experience, and mastery. So yeah. Really quickly, once again, how do those and an understanding of those 7 levels of awareness help a person achieve what it is they're setting out to accomplish?
Well, it kind of gives you a definition of the levels that you have been, you are, or you could be, an understanding what they look like for a person. So, you know, animal consciousness is basically a person that doesn't know and they don't know that they don't know. They're literally just on a survival level in life. And I don't think that we actually see many people in the free world that are living that way. But you do if you go to third world countries. You see a lot of animal consciousness in those places. Mostly what we see is mass consciousness, which is, you know, the thing is it's only a step above animal consciousness. You're not aware of your own individuality, your own power, your own ability to choose. You see yourself in a world that you believe all of your choices are being caused by someone else. These are people that are highly into conspiracy theory. The whole world's out to get them. The man is out to get them, you know, and it's just injustice everywhere, you know? So the masses in whatever aspect that is for you, it could be the media, it could be middle class, it could be working class, whatever group of people you're resonating with, they're really controlling your thinking. And generally, you don't know that that's what's actually happening because you don't know that you can think for yourself yet. You really need to move up to individual before you realize that. Aspiration takes us. It bridges that gap because you start to think to yourself, is there another way? Like I feel something inside. I'm not necessarily know what it is, but it feels like there's another way than the people I'm observing in my life. And you start to step out. You start to look. You start to reach. You start to watch. And you get drawn into very specific things. And this is where a person might look at somebody like Jordan and go, I wonder if I could be like that. I wonder if there's something in me that has the equivalent kind of a greatness that I see in this person. You're not just looking at Jordan as a circus act. But, you know, the truth is that most people look at him that way. They go that he's an entertainment for them. It's not even inspiration. It's just this excitement. You know, look at this. We're winning. I think that when you see sports teams and all the fans that get around a winning team, there is this dormant desire to win that's in every person. And when we see that, it kind of awakens that desire in us. And then we become super fans, right? But as long as we're super fans and we never move out of being a super fan, we think that it's for them. We don't realize that what's being awoken in us is something for us to actually do in our own life. You know, it's like a prehistoric awakening of some deep desire to succeed, to conquer, to, you know, stake our own place in the world. That's what it is.
I love that. And, you know, here's the thing. Like, there's probably people who have already turned this off because they think we're just riffing on sports. This is so much more than sports. Like, here's the thing. Greatness is greatness no matter how you look at it. And if you're not a big sports fan, you don't have to be. I mean, this is all about leadership. It's all about commitment to yourself. It's all about willingness. It's all about desire. It's all about making the decisions. I mean, all of the words that you use to describe what it takes to have a successful mind. Yes, they were a part of Jordan's life, but they're also a part of everyone's life. It's just a matter of you tapping into that and utilizing it. Because every single person listening to this has said to themselves, I aspire to do this or I aspire to do that. And you said you bridge that gap into the next phase. The people listening to this aren't like the mass consciousness people. Most people have an aspiration to do something more, but then they start to realize, oh my God, there's a lot of work that goes into this. I had no idea that it was going to require me to do this. And that's where a lot of people will stop. And I think it brings to mind what you talked about in the episode about Jordan saying, there's nothing I would not do to win. I think that's really important here because most people, to be quite honest, and this probably isn't going to be a popular opinion, but most people aren't willing to do that work or to sacrifice any sort of failure or to abandon the thoughts that are in their mind that are going to derail them from the objective. They just flat out, they say they want to do it, but they don't, when it comes down to it, really want to do that. And then if they do say they want to do it and they start bargaining, they're dead in the freaking water.
Right. Right. Yeah. 100%. They don't. And Jordan did. And here's another thing for everybody that's listening right now. When you hear Brandon say Jordan was willing to do whatever it took to win, you have to ask yourself, what comes to mind for you? What does whatever it takes look like to you? Then go watch the entire series of The Dance 5 times. And see if you see something different than what's in your own head. I guarantee you, you'll see something completely different. There's things that they bring out that Jordan did to win that most people would never even think of. And I think that's what I talked about with Kobe. Like, Kobe saw people show up just to play the game. And they said Jordan was playing a different game than the rest of the NBA. He was figuring out, I know how everybody's going to show up and play. I need to figure out and come in, and I need to push my team's strengths. I need to play to exemplify their strengths, and I need to play to tear down the other team's weaknesses. So he had to study the game from a completely different viewpoint and then master what he had to master in himself to do that. And a lot of it was psychological. Like, the psychological stuff in The Dance is amazing. The things that he would do to break down their psychology was just unparalleled.
Yeah. Well, and then you just said it, you got to master yourself inside before you can take it out to your court. So in your court might be the field of business, right? So whatever you're in, whatever your role is, you can be the best at that and you can take that mentality on the court, but you have to do the work on the inside beforehand. You know, I mean, it kind of reminds me of sort of what my journey is around, you know, running, for example. Like, I just don't give myself the option to not do it. I don't bargain with myself, because if I start to bargain with myself, I'm going to fail, period. Same is true with how my body feels now. Like, if I'm not feeling good, I need to really be thinking about what that is, and I need to work on the inside. So everything that we talk about on this podcast, when it boils down to it, it's all about how important it is from an inside perspective, like how you're feeling on the inside. And love him or hate him, you know, Jordan was relentless in his pursuit of greatness, and he was not going to let the other people on his team derail that. It goes back to what Grover says in Relentless, you know, get on my level or get out of my way, period. And in order for Jordan to do what he did, he needed help around him. We get that. We acknowledge that. But he made good players great just because he was an ass and pulled them up to his level. I think it's an absolutely amazing study in human psychology. And the fact that all of us have this ability, you just got to put it to action and you got to work for it. You got to work for it. And he did. It's incredible.
Right.
I love that.
Right.
So Let's talk a little bit about a mindset strategy here. And I know this is just general, but I want to throw it out there because I know there's people who are listening who are thinking, okay, so now you've talked about Jordan, you've talked about all these athletes. They had something that maybe I have inside of me, but I can't tap into it. So what's like a, maybe a mindset strategy shift that you could give our listeners that they can start implementing on the most basic of levels to sort of quiet the voices in their head and allow them to see even the smallest goal they set through?
The only way to quiet those voices in your head is to make the decision that you're not going to listen to them. What let's talk about what keeps them alive: attention. When you focus on those voices, when you give them attention, you're engaged with them. You're in relationship with them. They grow. They have power. They start pulling in your emotions. You have to literally walk away from them. You have to turn your back on them. And when you turn your back, they're going to be screaming in your ear. You have to keep walking in the other direction. That's really what it comes down to. Now, what precedes that decision? It is a desire to create something in your life more than the desire to stay mediocre. Jordan had, he wanted something more in life than anything else. Like, we cannot stress this enough. This guy wanted to win more than anything in his life. There was nothing in his life that he wanted more than to win. And I think that part of the problem that most people face is what other people told them is important in life. So we really have a mixed bag of ideas when it comes to the value of what's actually important in life and where those values came from. But I think what's fascinating about those values is that most of the values that people carry around in them, that they live for in their life, it only brings them a mediocre life. Those values are just basically around raising a family, keeping a job. How do you keep a job, right? Like, think about that language, keep a job. Keep a job. It's about just show, you know, it's just showing up. It's just being mediocre. Get a house. You know, put in your 30 years of work, retire, play golf, you know, and then it's the end of your life. Raise your kids, play with your grandkids, and then it's over. It's not about excelling in anything. It's not about sacrificing something of comfort in order to do something that's absolutely incredible. And also, let's understand something. Because I think one of the things that the whole series of The Dance gets wrong is the idea that there's this selfishness in him. We cannot ever lose track of what his genius, what his commitment, what his consistency, what his standard level did for the livelihood of so many people. He earned billions and continues to of dollars for different industries because of what he did. That just him, by him standing up and going into his greatness, put people in their homes. It put clothes on their back. It sent their kids to college. It created industries, right? He has charities that he's created. He's built schools, all because he stood up and did something. So when I hear, there's this one part of the dance that I completely disagree with. And they're talking about when he did not back the political guy from North Carolina because he was black. And he got heat from that. And even Obama thought that he should stand up for his race. And I was thinking to myself, you know, I have to agree with what Jordan said, because he was committed to something different. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't commit to standing up for things that are wrong in the world, but he committed to a very specific thing in his life. And he says, I was not a political expert. I was not an expert in these things. This is what I was committed to. He said, I helped in a way that I could. I sent money, but I was not going to go out and start talking about something that I don't really know anything about. And this is what I was committed to in my life. And he said, if you don't like that, maybe you shouldn't be following me. But that single focus kept him a very clean pillar in what he stood for. And that allowed him to contribute on an they don't talk about the contribution, the extraordinary contribution that his success made. And I think that they should, because otherwise you end up with people saying like, well, how come he didn't give back? Give back? All he fucking did was give back.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, that's so true. And you're in a no-win situation there. And here's the thing. If he speaks up, they tell you just shut up and play basketball. If he doesn't speak up, right, then you should speak up. It's like if you're in a situation there where you really can't win. And you see it all the time in Hollywood or on our sports teams. They want you to take a stand, but the second you do, everybody else is telling you to shut up and just play the game. And you're in a situation, but you're 100% correct. And all of this wouldn't have happened had after he got cut from his, you know, high school basketball team, had he not put in the work over the summer to get better and come back and make that team. And I think that's one thing that, you know, in my origin story, I got cut from my sophomore basketball team after having a very successful freshman year. I was like one of the starting five or the sixth man, first person off the bench. And I got cut my sophomore year. Coach didn't necessarily like me. So instead of me getting in the gym and shooting my ass off, I said, screw this. I'll just play intramurals and drink with my buddies. And that's really one of my biggest regrets, no shit, is that I didn't go back and really give it a try, because just being around athletics in general at that young of an age really inspires you to do something greater on in life. And I've made it. I've done pretty well for myself, but I always think of Jordan, and had he not gone back out and just said, you know what, screw it, I'm done, I'll do something else, we wouldn't have had The Last Dance. We wouldn't have had this sneaker industry that blew up with Air Jordan. We would not have had all the people he has helped through his charities and his philanthropic work. It's really amazing. And when people start saying, oh, he's just an overpriced athlete who, you know, doesn't give enough, that drives me crazy. It's such a trigger for me that people are saying, well, if you have all this money, why don't you give it away? It's like, give me a break.
Yeah, exactly.
It drives me crazy.
Exactly. That is a very common misunderstanding about what somebody who contributes at a high level is actually doing for the economy, what they're doing for jobs, what they're doing for business, what they're doing to keep a lot of things moving forward just by their incredible accomplishment. They're not taking anything.
Right.
They're giving, they're doing, they're committed. They're more committed than anybody else. So what is it they're supposed to give back?
That's true. Well, and think about the joy that he brought to the city of Chicago and around the world during that time. There were people that were probably down on their luck, miserable, hating life. And then all of a sudden this team starts winning and they've got something to look forward to. Next thing you know, they're getting a promotion at work and they're making more money and they're buying these things. And it stimulates the economy through the great sense of team and togetherness. And we're all in this together. You can't quantify it, but you know that it's there.
Right. 100%.
We know that it's there. I love that. You know, another thing that popped out at me in this episode was around, you know, keeping your word and keeping your commitment. And that's one of the most important things that comes after you make the decision. So after you make the decision, you definitely have to keep your commitment to your word. And if you break that commitment in one area, chances are you're doing that all over in your life. And it requires a rigid set of standards oftentimes to hold yourself to the highest of standard. And it's not for everyone. Jordan was able to do that, as was Kobe and a lot of these other athletes. What does it take to really keep your word and not fold at the first sign of adversity?
I think it's a psychological and emotional muscle that you have to build upon. So you have to look at, where are you in keeping your word? Do you keep your word to anything? Do you keep your word to most things? Do you only break it when it gets really bad? If you break it, do you fix it right away? Like, you know, if something happens, you can't keep your word for something, but do you go back and do it again? So you have to really look at it and then ask yourself, what is causing you to break your word? Because I also think that's very important. Because you're 100% right. If a person starts breaking their word and they don't go back and correct it, they're going to go down a terrible rabbit hole, because it will lead to one thing after another, after another, after another. And you set up a losing mentality in your mind. You don't trust yourself anymore. you lose all your confidence. So your confidence comes by keeping your commitment. If you keep your commitment over and over and over again, you build confidence in your own ability to follow through on something. And it's that confidence and that follow through that gets you the success that you want in life. And if you don't do that, you don't get it. So a person has to really evaluate where they are. They have to start taking specific things in their life that they know that they will commit to and not break, and they need to be conscious of doing those things every day. And then they need to begin to add to it. So do it for a month. Take two things, three things, five things that you're going to commit to. That make them small so you know that you're going to follow through. Be conscious of doing them every day, and then in a month, add to them. So start to build that muscle of commitment. The other thing is that I really believe that this is very important. Jordan picked something he loved. He picked something he truly, truly loved. Find something that you love and you're passionate about, because it's easier to commit to something that you like than you don't like. And you might think to yourself, well, isn't that a cop-out because you're doing it with something easy versus not easy? No, it's not, because what you want behind the commitment is the confidence. Confidence will then feed the commitment, right? So if you get confidence in doing something, that you're actually doing it, you're getting a good result. You see yourself adjusting if you don't get a good result to then get a good result. You build that confidence and that stamina in yourself to be able to continue to move forward. So I think that's the way it needs to be done.
Oh man, confidence feeds the commitment. I love that. That is pure freaking gold. Okay, well, let's wind this down. And I just kind of wanted to go back to the top of the episode where you shared the quote that came from The Last Dance by Michael Jordan. It was, there's a price for winning and there's a price for leadership. Can you break that down just one more time? Because I don't think people can hear that enough.
Yeah, so at the end of episode 7, they're really talking about, they're doing a deep dive into whether he was nice or not. And he said, he actually got very emotional. And he said, look, there's a price to be a winner and there's a price for leadership. And I came there to win. And if that's not what you want, then you shouldn't be there, right? So I think it's very important to understand that the winning and the leadership that he represented was at an extraordinary level. I think we can each have that as at an extraordinary level in our own lives. Nobody's ever going to be a Jordan, but you could be the Jordan of your own life, you know? And in order to do that, you have to take something like winning and leadership. They need to become very high standards. But then here's the thing. So it's like you put them at the top of the mountain. Now you have to build a triangle to make it strong. And the idea with this triangle to make it strong is you have to look at every area of your life and ask yourself, is any area of my life make those two things weaker? Because if it does, now my job is to work on that area of my life. And that's what Jordan did. He relentlessly worked out. He totally watched his diet. He got the rest that he needed. He made sure that he studied every area of the game and the players and the strategies and everything so that it became instinctual knowledge in his body. He talked about how when he would get into a situation, he didn't have to think about what to do. He just knew what to do. Like if you, one of the reasons people don't know this, one of the reasons that he was called Air Jordan was not just because of his hang time, but it was because he could, the momentum that he would be carrying up toward the basket, and the last second he would completely change in the air, right? So if you think about this, it kind of goes against the law of physics. Once he's in the air, he has nothing to turn off of. There's nothing to move his body to pivot off of. And he had this ability to completely change his trajectory once he was already airborne, already in a direction to do one movement and then completely do something totally fucking crazy. And you'd be like, whoa, right. Like how the hell did he do that? Like it's absolutely crazy. But people don't understand that he practiced those things 10,000 times.
Right.
So that when he was in the air and somebody was coming at him, because the person takes off after him, he can then move. This guy can't because he's never practiced this, and he can still slam the ball in.
Yeah.
Or totally. Pass it to Pippen or, you know, whatever. And that's where you look at the things that he does and people would lose their freaking mind. Like, oh, shit, we've never seen anything like that. How the fuck is this guy doing that? but they didn't see him practicing. They didn't see him there at 5 o'clock in the morning practicing or after a game or, you know, all summer long to recondition his body so that he could do those movements precisely again. And that, you know, that's when it becomes instinctual and that's when it becomes easier for the person that's actually doing it.
And you can do that in your own life with whatever you choose. I mean, the more you flex that muscle, the more you put in the work, the easier it's going to be when the time comes and you're not going to shrink in the greatest of spotlights, whether that's in your business or whether it's something to do with your family. I mean, all of these attributes that we're learning from The Last Dance and studying Michael Jordan, it can help you in a myriad of different ways in your life, which we've talked about on this episode. And just to kind of close it out here, you said it best, nice is not a value. Jordan wasn't there to be nice. He wasn't there to be a good teammate. Kobe Bryant, the same thing. He was there not to be a nice teammate. They're still kind. These are kind men. Yeah. Obviously, Jordan wouldn't be crying if he didn't have kindness and compassion inside of him. But right. When you're on his floor, when you're on his court, you're going to step up and either be with him or you have no business being there to begin with. Nice is not a value.
100%.
That's huge. All right. Well, this has been absolutely fun. We could sit here and talk about this all night. Yeah. I think we better wind it down. Any last words before we move on here, David?
I think you have to take a really good look at the second part that we talked about, which is what parts of your life, things are either feeding that commitment or they're detracting from it. And I think that that's important. Otherwise, you end up fighting yourself. And I talk about this traditionally in like, what's our environment like? Because we create our environment, we tolerate our environment. Every area of our environment needs to feed the decision and the commitment to do what we say we're going to do in life. If something is detracting from that, it makes it 10 times harder to get ourselves to do it. So when you change that so everything supports it, the doing of something becomes a no-brainer.
Love it. All right. Well, hey, thanks for coming inside, David.
My pleasure.
Thanks for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. And if you like what you heard and you want to know more, go to davidnagel.com/freestuff.